Welcome back to Coast, Amelia Kincaid with us. We'll take your phone calls as we talk about communicating with animals. And of course, next hour, we begun to do these open lines with a certain topic I'll tell you about when we come back later. And welcome back to Coast, Amelia Kincaid with us. We'll take your phone calls this hour. Amelia, tell us the story of Aurora's Secret based on a true story working in Scotland Yard. What happened?
Well, it was pretty incredible. This was a few years ago. Now, my book is a fantasy novel, so I've spun a murder mystery from a real story.
Yeah.
And the real story was that a woman in Boston called me because her daughter had supposedly committed suicide in London. She had the daughter's dog. She got the daughter's dog from London to Boston. The dog was crying through the night. And she called me because she wanted to calm the dog. When I tuned into the dog showed me that it was not a suicide. And not only was it not a suicide, she showed me the murderer and gave me his name and said he was 6'2", brunette, green-eyed, and was the boyfriend of the girl who got killed.
Oh, my gosh.
And Scotland Yard confirmed that it was indeed her boyfriend and kept the entire case open on the testimony of a dog.
That's crazy, but incredible.
But why not, you know? I mean, you could put dogs in a lineup and they would react to it.
Well, I guess, apparently.
I got pulled into the O.J. Simpson case by the wrong side.
How did you get pulled in on that?
Oh, I don't know how they found me. They called me early one morning and I said, I'm sorry, my impressions are not going to help your defense.
On what grounds did they call you in on?
That the dog had seen the crime.
My gosh. But you could help in that case, could you?
Well, you know, consciousness is changing, thank God. And we're actually starting to move forward. Because I think our technology has outgrown our integrity, and we need to be able to keep up with this, the soulfulness, the connection to earth, the connection to nature, the connection to animals. I mean, now they've discovered, I saw a program the other day that said every time you get a text, your cortisol levels will spike. So this is the stress hormone in the body. Now, when you touch an animal, your endorphin levels spike, which is your peace, and they're actually good for our health. For us to put our focus back on our animals and on nature around us is so much healthier than paying attention strictly to the media.
Here's an incredible story out of Michigan. A woman found guilty of shooting her husband 5 times, witnessed by a parrot.
Oh, boy.
The parrot repeated the words, don't shoot, in the victim's voice.
Whoa.
It was an African gray.
Whoa.
They apparently didn't use that in the court proceedings, but they were enough to use it to get her found guilty of first-degree murder.
Oh, my goodness.
Isn't that amazing?
I was teaching in Cape Town, South Africa, and I have stories for you about the safari. This is going to go by much too fast. But something similar happened. The woman who came in to volunteer the animal teacher. Now, we're going to work with an animal teacher. Same thing I do in Language and Miracles Institute online. We have a picture of the animal. We're going to say, are they missing anybody? Who's their favorite other animal? Are they in pain? Are they hurting? What are their phobias? What are their fears? What happened to them before you got them? Any question that you need to know. The woman came in, and her husband had passed away. Her parrot would speak to someone in the room every morning that wasn't there and say, good morning. And, right, so the parrot would see and would talk to the spirit. Now, of course, I'm going to take this much further. In the quantum world, there is no death. Every spirit is an eternal spirit. And a lot of what I do is mediumship, not only with people, but with the animals. I mean, with not just the animals, but the people. One leads to another because people will call me and say, my cat just passed away. And then I'll see, you know, oh, your grandmother's here. And she says she's from Cuba and she's got your cat. And her husband died in such and such a war, and I see the uniform that he's wearing. And so what we're learning is that this capacity is available to everybody. It's not just me. It's just being able to put your focus on something different and give yourself the opportunity to grow.
Questions and stories with Amelia. Let's go to the phones. We'll pick it up by going to Joy in Santa Cruz, California to get things started. Hi, Joy.
Hi there. How are you?
Good. Good to get you on the show.
Hi, Amelia.
Hi, Joy.
I have a delightful story to tell
you. Okay.
In this last week, I've had two wild bee colonies come into my hives. I had some hives that were empty, and they just all showed up. We had about 50,000 bees flying around our yard.
Wow.
Yeah, it was amazing. And they all flew into one of the hives, and then another colony showed up.
How long had those hives been empty?
Oh, about a year.
That's a long time.
Yeah. And the bees just showed up.
Have they made it home now?
Both hives have been occupied by two different hives.
And nobody's been stung, right?
No. No. I mean, I walked out there and there were bees flying all around me.
Oh, my God.
And they didn't touch me.
What do you think, Amelia?
What kind of flowers do you have?
Lots of wildflowers.
Well,
I haven't really gotten into gardening right now, but everything's organic here.
Something attracted them, Amelia.
Oh, that's so amazing. I mean, in my bee chapter, I'm talking about a woman who is bringing her bees to one of my workshops in Switzerland, where I'm about to teach again. And the bees wouldn't go into the box the one day she wanted them to come to the seminar. And then somebody comes to the door and says, Amelia, you got to see this. And I go rushing to the door, and a swarm of bees is coming down the street inside a big city in Switzerland. A swarm of bees came to my seminar because the ones that she had at home didn't want to go into the box, so they sent their representatives. Now, we're assuming that we're more intelligent. We're assuming that we're more evolved than these other beings. You know, I couldn't draw a perfect hexagram. I spent 4 years in art school, and I couldn't draw a hexagram. Every single one of the structures in the hive is a hexagram. The queen can choose if she wants the baby to be a boy or a girl.
Last summer here in Los Angeles, I was walking into a little deli that a guy owns, and I saw him in the window before I got up to the door, waving me off. I thought for a while he was waving at me, Amelia, but he was waving me off, and I'm looking at him like, what's wrong? You know, is there a robbery going on inside? What? This is weird. And as I got closer to the door, he's waving even more furiously to get me to go away. I look up right there above the door. There must have been 1,000 bees all stuck to each other, just hanging under his door, just everywhere. And he was petrified that if I opened the door, they all would have come inside his deli. And, you know, people were inside looking. They were trapped. They couldn't get out. How they got there so quickly is beyond me, but he apparently had to call an exterminator who came and captured the entire grouping and took them somewhere.
Well, they are the single most important being on the land masses on the planet. Phytoplankton is the most important in our oceans, and whales have a lot to do with that. But on the land masses, we could not survive without bees. And one of the things I talked about in this chapter, the simplest solution to save our bees is simply to have a little wildflower garden. I mean, if you think about it, a pesticided green lawn serves no purpose. I don't even know where that idea came from. But having a wildflower garden is extremely important because we need our bees. And bees are so cosmic. I mean,
yep.
There's a lot more to it. You want to talk about?
Sadly, they've been dying off because I think of insecticides and you know, things that they're putting on weeds and everything else.
And there's a lot of mythology about bees, interplanetary travel, bees going through portals, bees being the first being on a planet to pollinate a planet. And if you think about it, it's true. They have to get there first to make life possible on a planet.
Let's go to Kim in Denver, Colorado, first-time caller. Hi, Kim.
Hey, how are you?
Okay.
Love your show.
Thank you. Good to have you with us.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
I'm a little nervous, so just bear with me.
You'll be fine.
Don't be scared, Kim.
I'm not. I'm going to try not to be. So, Amelia, I have a question for you.
Okay.
I lost the dog a couple of years ago, and I think she's with me all the time, but how do I know? I mean, I see things out of the corner of my eye. I feel like I definitely have some abilities of my own, but there are times I second-guess myself. So tell me how I can perfect that a little better.
Well, so the part of the brain that is judging and saying, no, you're making that up. No, that can't be true. We're going to set that part of the brain. We're going to put that voice aside.
Okay.
And listen to an authentic reaction that you're having to the world around you. You're going to feel it in your belly. You're going to feel it in your heart.
Right.
If you get goosebumps, now, chances are you're lying in bed and you feel something.
Yep.
But usually you wake up first thing in the morning, she's down there, she's off your left foot.
Yep.
And if you watch, you're going to see an indentation in the covers. You're going to feel her warmth. You're going to know that she's there and feel a sense of comfort. It's that peace, that presence. And animals have a tendency, in your case, I got her, I feel her, in the kitchen in the morning when you get up and she wants to be fed. I want you to be very aware of if anything gets knocked off the kitchen table.
Okay.
Because that would be her tail.
Okay.
Wagging away.
Which is
I hope so.
Now.
I hope
yeah,
so. Well, I used to feel her a lot more before I moved out to Colorado, and I don't feel her, but I definitely feel like I see something out of the corner of my eye.
Well, ask her to show herself to you.
Will she?
Of course she will.
All right.
Is your dad with you still?
My dad, like, living or?
Yeah.
No, he's passed on.
Oh, that's what I felt. She said she's with your father.
That's good. That's good. Okay. That makes me feel better.
They're very happy together. I see them in a beautiful country setting, and he loves her and he needs her, and they're walking in the countryside. Now, this may sound crazy, but I don't think it will on this radio show. This dimension is one of many, and the other dimensions are very similar to this.
Right.
And when I tune into the animals in heaven and they say, oh, I'm with Dad, we're walking in the countryside, or, you know, he's fishing in a pond, or Grandma's cooking in the kitchen and she's making pie crust, and Father's reading the newspaper, it's not that different from our world here.
Right. I believe that. It's, you know, I have to sometimes kind of reset myself and say, is that really what's happening when we move on? And, you know, when I get these signs and symbols, I say, I think that's what's going to happen, but I just, you know, it's still that validation that I look for.
Well, and the hardest thing about animals is that their lifespans are so much shorter than ours. And the pain that brings is agonizing.
Yeah, but that's the part.
The beauty of it is that they teach us that life and death is like a needle and thread, that when the needle's in the air, it's outside of the fabric of 3D in reality, and then it goes into the fabric, and God is sewing a tapestry, and we're all a part of that tapestry. But there are times when we're on Earth, times when we're not on Earth, and animals go through those dimensions a lot more gracefully than we do. And all the animals are showing us that there's nothing to be afraid of.
Thank you, Kim.
Incredible comfort that brings.
Do animals reincarnate?
Absolutely.
They do.
And this is also something I didn't set out to prove, George, but when I teach, I mean, for the last 20 years, I've had situations where somebody will come in and I mean, my own experience where the dog said, I had a ferret in a workshop. And the ferret said to me, oh, tell her I was the little black and white dog that died last May. And I said to the woman, I can't believe this, but the ferret's telling me that she was your dog. And the woman said, my dog died last May, a little black and white dog. And the ferret said, well, she moved into an apartment building where she's not allowed to have dogs, so I had to come back as a ferret. But we're taking away that idea. See, it's not the outside edges of things. We're looking at the energy, the content and meaning, what's inside. And what's inside is more like a student came to me once in Sweden, and I'll never forget it. She was 9 months pregnant. She was about to pop. And I said, your baby can hear me. Your baby can hear me, and when she's born, she's going to be able to talk to animals. That woman came back to me 5 years later in Norway with a four-year-old little girl, and she said that their family dog had died at Christmas. The woman was despondent. The four-year-old came up to her and said, Mommy, don't cry. Animals are like flowers. They die in the winter, and they come back in the spring. Now, no one had taught this child that.
No,
you know, we've
no.
got these crystal children coming in now. But that is, it's an exchange of energy that's no different from a quantum exchange.
I remember years ago when we went to pick out our chocolate lab puppy for my daughters, and we picked out the puppy, Amelia, that came up to us and was jumping and having fun while all the others, you know, scattered around, ran away or did whatever. This little one came up to play with us, and that's the one we picked. And it was the greatest decision we ever made. It's amazing how they communicate.
Did you have a feeling that you had known that dog before?
No, I didn't. I didn't, but I had a feeling that this little puppy was very, very into our family, was very friendly.
Souls travel in flocks.
Yeah.
And they're bound together by love and hate. And that's why all of our spiritual teachers have taught forgiveness, because it breaks the binds of hatred. Because that also will keep us bound. But what's happening is like invisible elastic bands. It's like the super glue of the universe is love. Now, people are going to get their animals again and again and again. And a lot of what I do is this. People want to negotiate reincarnations. They want that same animal to come back. But the animal will come back in their own time and not necessarily in the same species. Now, this is very controversial, because even the yogis want to believe that the humans are at the top of some sort of chain. I don't believe that's true.
I don't think we are either. We may be on the lower part of the chain.
Well, I got to tell you, and I'm going to squeeze this story in.
All right, well, I got 30 seconds. Can you make it?
All right, my safari, the elephants, I were waiting in the lobby where they said they'd be. I said, listen, I'm moving to another safari park. And it's miles away. I'm moving there tomorrow at noon. The next day at noon, I check into the new safari park. I don't know what chalet I'm going to be in. They give me a key. I walk to the far end of the safari park. There are five elephants waiting around my chalet before I knew where I was.
They knew. They communicate. Stay with us, Amelia. We're going to come back in a moment with final phone calls for you here on Coast to Coast AM, one of her books, Whispers from the Wild, and her websites are linked up at coasttocoastam.com. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Amelia Kincaid with us, and your phone calls and stories. It's amazing how many people love animals, Amelia. Thank God, right?
Yeah, thank God. I mean, that is our soul salvation. It's our connection to everything that's authentic and pure and beautiful and real.
Do you recommend that people get their animals spayed and neutered?
Well, you know, we have to in today's world only because of the overpopulation problem. I deal with that a lot because, of course, they react to that. You may have a female dog that misses having puppies. And one of the things we work with is trying to find alternatives so that we can make the animal happy, that they understand that we feel their pain, their compromise, and that we're going to offer something to them to acknowledge the fact that they've been put through something really painful and hard.
Producer Tom rescued a dog that probably was going to be put down from a shelter. And this little guy, has turned out to be like a little person. It's truly unbelievable. He saved the puppy's life. And I bet the dog feels that, doesn't it?
Of course they do. And what we're learning is how to tune into what they're thinking, what they're feeling. And their love and intelligence is so obvious. You know, the idea that they are not as intelligent as we are is something that humans have been taught. And we have to look at the reality of things. That everybody who has a dog or a cat or a horse and is living with that relationship, they know how much that animal thinks and feels and
needs sure do.
And hurts. And it's our responsibility to give back the love that they give to us every day.
By the way, you need to call us tomorrow and tell us what horse you've communicated with at the Kentucky Derby. Tell us the winner before it happens.
Oh,
please.
I got to ask you, George, did you have a cat as a child?
I had one cat, not as a child. I bought one. As a matter of fact, I will tell you a very quick story that will take our final calls here. There was a portion of my time I was working in corporate public relations, and I was handling the Ralston Purina account, the pet food account. And they had a little kitten that they were doing a promotion with. And when they were done with the promotion, they didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, they didn't know whether to take it, you know, back to the office or what. And I said, I'll take it. You know, and at that time I had two little girls. And so I took this little kitten and they called it Patches. And that was my one and only cat ever. I'm a dog guy. Generally.
And it was before the dog that came out from the litter and showed itself to you.
Yes. Why do you say that?
Because when you said, and I said to you, did you know this dog before?
And I said, no.
And the dog said, I was a cat before.
Oh, really?
And I said, you were a cat before. And showed himself as his kitten in your life and wanted to come back and have an entirely different body and a whole different experience, obviously, because you're a dog guy.
Interesting. And the cat did pass away before we got the puppy.
That's right. The dog told me that...
You're scaring me.
No, the dog was that cat, George.
The dog was the cat.
And knew that you would prefer a dog. It's the same spirit. Why wouldn't it be? You see, that the body is just the clothes that we wear.
Sure, it's just a capsule.
Suit. It's a cat suit. Yeah. It doesn't matter what suit it is. It's a spirit. And it's the same soul.
Amazing. Back to the calls. Donna's in Cleveland, Ohio. Welcome to the program, Donna.
Hi, Amelia. Hi, George.
Hey.
I am so laughing because you said you're scaring me with all the stuff that you have on the show.
This scares me. That's right.
Anyhow, I lost a dog about a year ago. And he was like my heart, my heart, you know. I mean, I could tell when she looked at me how much she loved me, you know.
Yeah.
We had her for like 14 years, and, you know, I used to like sneak her in bed with me and my husband, and she was huge. She was 115 pounds. Well, I weigh 110. And so she was as tall as me and stuff, and my husband said after she passed, you never snuck her in the bed, you know, like I didn't know she was there. But I tried to feel her presence, and I feel like I should be able to feel her presence, and I don't, and I don't know why. I was wondering if you have any ideas about that.
I want you to go outside to her favorite spot outside and sit on the ground where she liked to be and put aside every thought, every worry, every anxiety, and simply maybe have a picture of her in your lap and ask her to show you where she is now.
Okay. Okay, now also I had I rehabbed wildlife. So I had raccoons and squirrels specifically. But I did have one little boy raccoon who was just like, he was so funny. He was so phenomenal. And they're so smart. Oh, my God, are they smart.
I love them.
Two things. Pardon me?
I love them.
Yeah, he, I was spreading mulch one time, and where most raccoons or any animals would dig the mulch bag up. He actually helped me spread it. So that just kind of tells you. But anyway, he got a neurological something going on where he was, all of a sudden he started to get, like, paralyzed, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I took him into the vet, and there really wasn't anything they could do, and his quality of life was going downhill fast. So
yeah.
I did have him put to sleep, and, I mean, I cried for probably 2 months about that.
Sure.
And I just wonder if he's around. Well, she and her. Now, she used to carry him around by the scruff. She loved him.
Yeah. They can carry very dangerous parasites. And the parasites are going to paralyze the nervous system. So he had a parasite problem. That's what got it.
Uh-huh.
And absolutely he's around, except he's in your house.
Is he?
Hmm. Another situation where I want you to look for moving objects for him, because he's got this wonderful, playful personality. So he's going to be playing tricks on you and helping you. And I also have students all over the world who have dogs who help them find parking places that we actually call on the animals to help us when we're doing something that's really challenging. He's going to help you. They're both your spirit guides. You've just got to get your fear and grief out of the way and tune into them and vibrate on that same frequency that you did when you were with them and loving them. And they'll show themselves to you.
Good luck, Donna. Is it easy to lose your fears that way, Amelia? Or is it hard?
Well, it's hard. I mean, there's this big thing called ego, and that's us thinking that we are all there is, that it's that analytical mind that wants to hold on and be in charge. And what I'm saying is we don't hold on. We let go. We allow something bigger than us to take us over. We get swept along in the magic and the glory of God and all the animals are. And what we find along the way is that they bring us all sorts of shocking messages, and we find out we have magical abilities. We all do. So, yeah, it's hard, but it's so beneficial. And working in this way, learning how to have your animal communication practice be as if it were a yoga class, a meditation, a spiritual class, and that's your practice, it's so incredibly beneficial for your life, because you're going to find yourself more peaceful, more happy, more joyous, more grateful. You're looking for the beauty in life. You're not focusing on the negative. You're not allowing all the brainwashing and nonsense and negativity of everyone else to influence you, saying, no, I'm going to set this level of coherence. I'm going to be an octave above. And when we're in that place, when another living being sends us a thought, a feeling, an idea, we can feel it, we can hear it, we can see it, because we're flying above all of the negativity of the human race.
Let's go to Keith in Cleveland, east of the Rockies. Hey, Keith, go ahead.
Good morning.
Oh, you're up and chipper and ready to go.
Oh, absolutely, George. And this is the Keith that I want to wish you, because our birthdays are on the same day coming up.
They are coming. My gosh.
I know. It's hard for me to believe.
I know. Me too.
And I did want to say, this is a wonderful show, and it hits home so hard for me. I am blind, and I deal with a long-term ailment, and I haven't wanted a dog, but I had a cat that I lost over 5 years ago. And it's been unbelievable how much I miss her. She meant the world to me. She got to know me so unbelievably well that I dream and I think about her all the time. She was a purebred Russian blue.
Oh.
And she was the love and joy of my life, because I live alone. And she did so much for me. It was amazing. And how much I still miss her.
And what was her name?
Sophia.
That's what I thought. I was going to say Sadie. Absolutely getting this strong ass name. So she never left you. She's with you all the time. I see her on your chest, in your arms, in your solar plexus.
I really do feel her still around. But not being able to feel her, not being able to touch her, but being blind, obviously, I still perceive her in so many ways.
Sure.
Her vibes.
Well, I mean, I have a chocolate Persian that died many years ago. And when he lands on my bed, he shakes the bed. And then he stomps up the covers, and it's gotten so scary. I'll actually have to tell him, okay, that's enough. You're about to break the laws of physics. And you shouldn't just teleport all the way back to Earth. But I can feel him. I can touch him. I can feel him licking my fingers. I can hug him. Sometimes I'll wake up in the middle of the night. He'll be wrapped around my head or my back with his paws around me.
And I do perceive that. Because during hard times, during difficult issues, specifics, losing a brother in this period of time since I lost her, I do feel that comfort. I do feel that.
Well, don't question that, and don't let any part of you talk yourself out of it, because the truth is the truth. And what your senses are telling you is that her spirit is there, her energetic field is there, her love is there. Now, you know that to be true.
And let me
believe that. I really believe that, and that is, to me, a tremendous, tremendous wish for my birthday, just to, not to replace her, but to have almost another Sophia.
Well, then let's make that happen.
Do you remember the James Bond movies, Amelia?
I do.
What was that cat that the Spectre guy always was? Was that a Persian?
Oh,
big, fluffy white cat.
I don't remember that.
Persians are fluffy, aren't they?
It probably was a Persian.
I would think so. Maybe somebody will email me with that answer. Keith, thank you. Good luck to
you. Yes, I know that he's going to find another cat, and that she's either going to come back into his life in a new body, or she's going to send a friend.
What I do like about cats, they're self-sufficient. You don't have to rush home to let them out or anything like that. They take care of themselves.
That's right. And people have a problem with dignity. They don't want an animal to have that much independence and dignity. And I encourage people to honor their dignity. Yes, they're sensitive. They're sound sensitive. Yes, you have to approach them with respect. Yes, they have the right to say no. They can put their claws out. Yes, they hunt as God intended. Because God made them, and we didn't. But to be able to look at them and honor everything about them, cats can be some of our greatest spiritual teachers. They have been for me.
Let's go to Alicia in Portland, Oregon. Hi, Alicia. Get you in here.
Hi, George.
Hey.
Hi, Amelia.
Hi, Alicia.
I love you. I've been following you on Facebook since I learned about you, which was last time you were on with George.
Oh,
10 years ago.
I was really going to tell you a short story, but the last call, a couple callers got me kind of choked up. I live alone, and I recently lost the love of my life, Halloween. And I was wondering if maybe I was, like, inhibiting her spirit from not moving on because I just have such a tight grip on her, and I didn't want to hinder her. But I'm kind of glad to know that you're saying that I wouldn't be.
Was she a cat or a dog?
She's a cat, and she was all I had. I don't have kids. I don't have TV. I never even had a computer. So,
you have the 30 seconds of advice, Amelia, before we hit the top of the hour.
Tell her that she is safe to move on wherever she needs to be, that you're going to love her no matter where she is, that if she wants to come back to you, you will welcome her with open arms. But in the meantime, I want you to tell her, teach you to see through the gates of heaven. She can be your spirit guide. You can see things that you've never seen before. Where is she now? Who is she with? What is she doing? Now, she's superpositioning. She's with you, and she's also on the other side. And she has not left you.
Amelia, thank you for being on the program. Good luck with everything you do. Thanks again for being on Beyond Belief, having me talk to a tortoise. Hey, but it worked. Up next, open lines with a special topic, your horrid stories. I'll tell you why when we come back.